Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call tonight. You can call our number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. And certainly I invite you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out certainly more about me and more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can also look at a number of other materials that we have there. Got some articles and things there that I've written over the years, and some other resources that are there, some word searches and things that we put together. And you can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, from livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, Richfield Bible Baptist Church is where I'm the pastor, and we're located in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off from Interstate 77, 271, where they meet there in Richfield. And we are in a small commercial suite in a little strip right there at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road. That would be 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And I always remind people, it's Suite 200. It's a commercial space. If you're looking for a building with a steeple, chances are you won't find us. You got to look for our door there on that little commercial strip building. And we're down toward the eastern end of it, second from the end. But we'd love to have you come out and visit sometime. Always good when we have somebody who visits, a visitor from the radio tonight. Certainly appreciate him visiting with us. But you can find out more about us at livewithpastoral.com. We'll have more information about the church and some of the different things as the program goes on tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening, and let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Pray that you would bless, use the program for your glory tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And above all, help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said, our phone number is 888-677-9673. You can give us a call tonight. And before we get into our calls, I just want to remind you, if you have not voted, if you're here in Ohio and you have not voted yet, early voting has been going on since, I believe it was October 11th. We have voting season now instead of voting day, but that's a whole other area. But voting day is this coming Tuesday, November the 7th. Tuesday, November 7th. And if you have not voted yet, I believe early voting closed today, and I don't believe that you'll have another chance until Tuesday morning when the polls open I should know this right off the top of my head. I want to say 6:30. All I know is I have to be there at 5:30 in the morning to do this. You know, and not being a morning person, I'm a night person. That's why I do Late Night Live with Pastor Al rather than early morning live with Pastor Al, because it would be early morning snoring with Pastor Al if I did it that way. But being not being a morning person, it's always a challenge working the polls on election day. But you know, you do what you have to do. So it'll be, I believe, at 6:30 the polls will be open, and they'll be open until 7:30, and so plenty of time during the day to come in and vote. And so if you've not voted yet, you need to get out and make a difference. And certainly for God's people, if there was ever a time to get out to make a difference, it would be this election where you can get out and vote no against issue one to help protect unborn children in Ohio and born children as well, and parental rights, and many more things, all by voting against issue one. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more later in the program. And then also vote no on issue two, the recreational marijuana bill. And the issue two is not a constitutional amendment to the state of Ohio's constitution like issue one is. Issue two, should it be passed, it can be modified by the state legislature and courts and things. But issue one is an existential threat to the the children of this state, born and unborn. It will be in the Constitution, and it will instantly transform Ohio from a pro-life state to one of the greatest pro-death states, not just in America, but in the world. Put us up there with such luminaries as North Korea and China. Not very many countries allow abortions after about, certainly not after the second trimester, but a lot of countries that allow abortion, it's banned after the first trimester. Well, guess what? It'll be in the enshrined in the Ohio Constitution that a woman can abort her baby all the way up until the very moment that she's giving birth. That is just sad and sick at the same time. So do pray, and do more than pray. Get out and vote if you haven't voted. If there you got a family member, a friend who has not voted, encourage them to get out and vote no on issues one and issue two. Now, depending on where you're at, there's a lot of other issues on the ballot, local issues, county issues, and of course there's some different candidates. Some communities have mayor races, council members, trustees, different other positions, and so you can make a difference there too. God's people of all people ought to be out trying to make a difference, because we are called to be salt and light in the world around us, and that's one of the ways that we can do it. So get out, vote no on issue one, and vote no on issue two on Tuesday, November 7th, Election Day. All right. Well, with all of that, we are going to jump to our phones tonight, and we have Nancy, who is waiting patiently for us tonight. And Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
I go to some of these restaurants, you know, where they go through the drive-thru and they ask for your name, and I say Al, and everybody jokes with me. My kids joke with me because sometimes I'm called Hal. Sometimes I think I was called Pal one time. Is Pal out there? And Hal's a common one. There's some other, you would think, how many variations can you get on Al? I almost call myself Hal right there. They've come up with several over the years. But
that's for sure. Now, I'm still concentrating on witnessing to the lost, and I positively love this book, which I mentioned before, Praying Effectively for the Lost.
Yes.
By Lee Chandler,
very good book.
Which you gave me. And I was particularly interested in page 18, where they talk about ask the Lord to open the minds and hearts of the lost. He will then, they can be gloriously saved. But this is what I'm asking you for Bible verses to substantiate this. I couldn't find any. Now we are ready to ask the Lord to save him. However, we must be willing for God to do whatever it takes to facilitate his salvation, for God orchestrates events in his life designed to bring him repentance. Now, I've seen examples of that, of people that I've heard about that got saved. Something dramatic happened which caused them to be convicted, the Holy Spirit draw them. But I can't find any Bible verses to substantiate this idea. Maybe you know of some.
So you're asking about something to substantiate some event occurring in somebody's life that brings them to
right.
Christ,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to God opening their eyes.
Yeah. Then God does open their eyes.
Right. Right.
A lot of times after some catastrophic events happens, but I just can't find any Bible verses to back that up. Maybe you know of some.
Well, I know there are things that God does, and he allows things to happen in order to get people's attention. Mm-hmm. And though this did not result in a salvation or a coming to God, when you look at the Exodus, you know, in the book of Exodus, when God sent Moses back. He had fled Egypt, and then God called him and sent him back to deliver his people from Egypt mm-hmm. and from Pharaoh. And the plagues that were sent were basically, or 10 of them, and they attacked the gods of Egypt, basically, and showing yeah. that the gods of Egypt were ineffective. And, you know, even though God knew how it was going to turn out, it talks about there in Exodus about how God hardened his heart, hardened mm-hmm. Pharaoh's heart. And what it was is that God gave him an opportunity to either turn to him or to reject him. And that's why it says mm-hmm. he hardened his heart, because see, when God sent these plagues as judgments against Israel, or I'm sorry, against Egypt, part of it was to deliver Israel, but part of it also was to give the Egyptians a legitimate chance to turn to God. And of course, they mm-hmm. rejected him. And so these would be certainly a case of plagues that God sent against mm-hmm. them, in order to bring them around. But of course, he knew that that was not going to happen. You say, well, then he must have caused them to reject him. God determined in advance, like the Calvinist would say, that the mm-hmm. Egyptians were created to reject him. That's foolishness. It was a legitimate chance, a legitimate opportunity. It's just that God, in his foreknowledge, knew how they would choose. But he gave mm-hmm. them an opportunity. And so, like I said, that started one thing. But you know, it also, now that I think about it, it also enabled the Jewish people to turn back to God. And many of them did, because some of the things that they went through with the plagues even afflicted some of the Jewish people. They suffered a little bit, but it allowed them to come back to him. So we see a setup in the Old Testament of God allowing difficult situations, uncomfortable things, bad things to happen mm-hmm. in order to bring people to him. Certainly in the book of Joshua and the book of the Judges, when Israel went into the land, and then while they were in the land, God sometimes allowed bad things to occur to get their attention, to bring them back to him. So that's a principle that we see in the Old Testament. And so mm-hmm. as we go into the New Testament, I'm trying to think of anything in particular in the New Testament. Let's see. We know that God has to open the eyes of the unsaved. See, if you'd asked that, that would have been an easy question. mm-hmm. But you called up with the more difficult one for us tonight. Mm-hmm. But as far as an actual passage, I've been preaching through the Gospel of John here lately, and you know, actually, the ones I think about more are ones where he gave them an opportunity, and oftentimes people rejected him, because in John chapter 5, we see where he healed the lame man who was there at the Pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem, and, you know, that just made me think about something else here that we'll get to in the book of Acts, but it's a similar sort of thing here, because why was this man lame in the first place? And, you know, God allowed him to be in that condition But that condition did make him respond to Christ when Jesus came to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be partially what you're talking about there, mm-hmm. a case. But then also that situation allowed for others to either believe or disbelieve. So it got the attention of people to either believe or disbelieve. And of mm-hmm. course, a number of people in John chapter 5 rejected Christ. In fact, he said in verse number 38, "And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Now, some did, but mm-hmm. Some rejected him on the face of that those circumstances. We have the case of Saul, and this is what I was thinking of as well. You know, as Saul, a Jewish man who thought that this claim that Jesus was the Messiah was a rank heresy, and he was mm-hmm. determined that he was going to stamp out this heresy. And mm-hmm. because God struck him blind,
yeah.
remember, that was very instrumental there in Paul or Saul becoming a believer and turning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah, and you know, he was going through some things, and when he came to Christ, you know, and he was there on the road. What it says here in chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, starting verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jesus. And as he journeyed and came near Damascus, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, I mean, he was basically knocked off from his horse and down to the ground, or out of the chariot, whatever he was in, down on the ground. And, of course, he was struck blind at the time. But he also said there, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, the prick refers to the poking of the ox goad. It had a sharp stick.
Oh.
You know, maybe it had a bit of sharp bone or a piece of stone or glass on the end of it. And the ox didn't want to move all the time. And you took the ox goad and you poked him in the backside with it, and it hurt. And he might kick against it, but then he would move. And he'd start down pulling the cart or whatever he was supposed to be doing. And mm-hmm. so what was happening to Saul is his conscience was bothering him.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulty that he was having seeing these people that he was persecuting standing up for Christ, and this situation of being knocked down and blinded caused him mm-hmm. to realize who Jesus was. So that could be a bit of an indication there. But the one that I thought of when we were talking there in the Gospel of John is when Peter and who was it? I think it was Peter and John came together, and I'm going to see if I can find it. I got over there talking about Saul and didn't look this one up as I was talking. I should have been looking this up while I was talking. The idea was this man was born lame, and mm-hmm. the disciples wanted to know, well, why was he lame? And, you know, what caused him to be lame, and did he sin? And actually, mm-hmm. I should have stuck with this. Was in John. This is the one I was actually thinking of, and it reminded me of somebody over in Acts. But the one I want to go back, so I need to go back to John again. This is in John chapter 9, and it says, "And Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth. In verse 2, it says, and the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And the interesting thing with that statement there is, who sinned here is what they're saying. Now, we understand his parents. You know, did his parents sin? And because of that, this man was born blind, and you know, as like punishment because of their sin. But the other thing that they said there was, did this man sin so that he was born blind? Which points to the idea of reincarnation, which isn't a new idea. There were some who wondered about that even back in Jesus' day. You know, there were those that tossed around this idea that perhaps people were reincarnated, you know, lived another life. And that would be the only explanation here. Why would they say, did this man sin so that he was born blind? Which is, you know, it is not the case. And in fact, Jesus answers in the next verse, verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. So the man didn't sin in a previous life so that he was born in this life blind. So that throws out reincarnation. His parents, it wasn't because his parents sinned that he would be born blind. But what it says is, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while this day, the night cometh. When no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, which he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And so a miracle takes place, and this guy's eyes are opened. As yet, he doesn't know who Jesus is. And you could say, well, okay, he was born blind. You know, how did that tragedy bring him to Christ? Well, here's the real tragedy that brought him to Christ. People were going back and forth talking about this and what happened. And it says in verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he'd received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes. I washed and do see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. And he say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. It made sense to him. How else could it have happened? It continues, verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, for he shall speak for himself. Now, there's a reason they didn't want to answer, and they answered and said, well, ask him. And it's given in verse 22. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Well, being excluded from the synagogue was a bad thing. You were cut off from not only the fellowship of your fellow people there, believers and all, but you were excluded from the opportunity to, you know, to in the synagogue is where prior, of course, to the cross and everything, people went to learn about God, to learn what God expected of him, learn what they needed to do to walk right with him, and it was necessary for their spiritual growth, and to be excluded from that. It was not a good thing. It was a thing that was undesirable. It was something that you would be an outcast in the society. And so the parents didn't want to say anything about Christ. They said, talk to him. And so they go back to the blind man in verse 24. And then again, called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And then said they unto him, or to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. He's saying, you fall into heresy. These are the leaders in the community, the religious leaders, saying, you fall into heresy. You're a bad man. You know, and they're you know, getting ready to throw him out of the temple. And so the man is arguing back with them and says unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of the Lord, of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, is not heard that any man open the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Then answered, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They rebuked him, they reviled him, they belittled him, they threatened him, and they cast him out. Now, this was a bad thing.
Now, I didn't know that rest of the story.
Yeah. Now, what's the next thing that happens? Jesus finds him in verse 35 and introduces himself to him. And Jesus heard they cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe the on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And here's what the man said in verse 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. See, this tragedy of being rebuked and reviled by the leaders of the Jews there and cast out and literally thrown out to the world resulted in him finding Christ. Because he was out, you know, he was dejected, I'm sure. I mean, it should have been an exciting time for him. He was blind, but now he can see. And the next thing he knows, he's being thrown out of the synagogue. He didn't heal himself.
I didn't know all this transpired. I guess I didn't study it well enough. This is very interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah. So I would say this is a good example of a tragic occurrence in the Bible leading to somebody knowing who Christ is. And I mean, that's what he said. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Well, I think it's very clear. I think we'll see this guy in heaven.
Yeah, so, I think so.
So I think that's a clear passage right there.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, so, thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Nancy. I've got something good to challenge us with here. And
thank you for taking my call. God bless you.
Well, thank you, and God bless you as well. And make sure you get everybody get out to vote on Tuesday.
Oh, I already voted.
Well, we get everybody else out too.
Of course, no on issue 1 and 2. Absolutely.
Correct. Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Nancy. Appreciate that. And God bless you. Take care. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're going to be taking a short break here in about a minute or so. We'll get back to our callers there. And again, I do want to remind you, if you want to know more about Issue 1, about Issue 2, go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. If you have any problem with that, just do a search for Ohio Christian Alliance, and if you'll go to their homepage there, you will find some good information on the two issues. They've got a printable handout there that you can download, and you can watch it, you can read it, and it'll give you a little bit of background on both Issue 1 and 2, why we need to vote against it. Well, we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We got another hour and a half to go in the program tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and certainly invite you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Number of things on there, past programs, some articles, some other things, other materials, as well as a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. You can check all that out at livewithpastoral.com. Of course, our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, is the main sponsor of the program here tonight, but we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And you can let them know that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. Also, if you're out there looking for a business opportunity, you can call Gus at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100 and ask him about getting set up in your own pizza business. Not a franchise. He'll help you and teach you what you need to know and help you get the equipment, get started in your own pizza business. Or if you just want to add a line of pizza, perhaps to an existing restaurant or food service or some sort, give East Coast Pizza a call. Ask for Gus. Talk to Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right. We're going to get back into our program again here tonight. And again, reminder that Election Day is coming up on Tuesday. And I can't emphasize this enough, that God's people need to be out and voting. And I say this because too many times, I'm thinking of the special election that we had just as recently in August. If more of God's people had gotten out and voted in August, we would have probably been successful in our effort to raise the bar for changing the Ohio Constitution. And unfortunately, this happens all too often. Too many of God's people it's in the Lord's hands. Well, yes, it is, but the God that I see in the Bible says, yes, it's my plans and everything, but I choose to work through your hands. So it might be in the Lord's hands, but he chooses to use our hands to do the work. Ask yourself just a logical question. If everything just depends on the Lord, we don't need to do anything because it's in the Lord's hands, why do you need to go tell anybody the gospel message? Why do you need to do anything at all? Just let God do it all. Just sit back. I actually had somebody tell me one time, well, I don't vote. And this person was supposed to be a born-again Christian. They said, I don't vote because, you know, God will do what he wants to do, and I don't mess up what I want to mess up, what take a chance of messing up what God's trying to do. That was one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. I managed to keep a straight face when they told that to me. And, I see in my Bible that God gives us work to do, and he wants us to be involved, to be salt and light in the world around us. And it'd be like saying, you know, I'll stay here in the salt shaker, and the soup will be flavored whether or not I do anything. I don't want to take a chance in ruining the flavor, so I'll just stay in the salt shaker. Yeah, and then the soup stays bland because you're not getting involved. And there's too many times that I believe that good legislation has failed. Good issues have failed. Good candidates have failed because too many of God's people have said, you know, it's in the Lord's hands. I don't need to be involved. I'll just stay home and pray. Well, yeah, that's great. Prayer's great. But sometimes you got to get up off your knees and put feet to your prayers. And this is a great way to do it. I mean, we should pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to be involved. He wants us to pray, but we got to do more than just pray. We got to get up. And Tuesday, if you've not voted yet in this election, Tuesday, you can make a difference. You can be salt and light by getting out and going to the polls on Tuesday. And you know, I don't have any hesitation in saying you need to vote no on issue one and you need to vote no on issue two. You need to protect children, both the unborn and the born in Ohio, by voting against those two issues. Well, we won't belabor the point here. We've got our phone lines open. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, you know, we can't answer your call unless you call. So just think it's the same thing, you know. And you got to do something. And Terry has done something. He's called. So we'll answer Terry's call tonight. Terry, welcome to the program. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, one thing, you know, it says be doers of the word.
Yes.
Pick up the phone and call in.
Exactly. Being doers of the word, not just hearers, but doers. of the Word. That sounds like another program, I think, Doers of the Word. But you know what? There's no new thing under the sun, Solomon said. And that's because that phrase, doers of the Word, is a perfectly good phrase, and it encapsulates exactly what we ought to be doing. We ought to be doing what the Word of God tells us to do. And, of course, that comes out of the book of James, talking about not just hearers only, but doers. And, you can have all the knowledge of the Scripture in the world, but if you never put it into action, what good is it? So
that's right. We gotta share what we have learned with others.
Yeah, it reminds me of somebody said one time, they said, you know, you ought to be a warehouse, not a storehouse. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about giving or, you know, financially, like, you know, gifts and offerings and things to the Lord's work, or if it means giving the knowledge and the things that you've received, the blessings of the Lord and the knowledge that He's given you, and applying it this sense into the knowledge that He's given us. We don't want to just store it up like a storehouse and just keep it under lock and key. We want to be like a warehouse where it comes in one, and then it's ready to be shipped out to those who need it.
Yeah, I think one of the problems that came to me is that people are, especially young people nowadays, they'd rather text people. Like on social media, I noticed that a lot of people text one another.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a big problem because people don't want to talk on a one-to-one basis. They'd rather text.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I was preaching this morning in John chapter 7.
Yep.
And in John chapter 7, I was in the first five verses there, and it talks about Jesus in working and walking in Galilee, and his brothers, okay, his brothers actually come up to him, and they encourage him to go down to Judea. And, remember, Galilee was in the north up by the Sea of Galilee. Going south, you had Samaria, and then you went further south, you came into Judea where Jerusalem was. And so they were telling him, you know, why don't you go down there and show yourself to the people down there? And at one hand, you look at that, you think, well, you know, that's nice. They're encouraging him to go there. But when you read verse 5, it says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. And you realize that the reason that they were trying to send him down there was to get rid of him, in a sense. He was almost embarrassing them because at this stage of his ministry, his own siblings rejected him as being the Messiah. And we were talking about that today, about how they had to grow up hearing the stories about Jesus' birth and about the wise men coming and about the trip to, you know, fleeing to Egypt and being in Egypt and all the different things that happened. They had to grow up hearing these stories about how the angels told, Mary and Joseph that he was going to be the Messiah and that his name was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And they heard all of this growing up. And yet, it says right there, neither did his brethren believe in him. They were not believing that he was the Messiah. And what's kind of interesting is the list of his brothers are in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, is just one part of several. But it says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And these individuals that are named, these are the children of Mary and Joseph. So they would be half-brothers and half-sisters to Jesus, making Jesus the eldest son. Interestingly enough, James there went on to, many of them went on to believe that he was the Messiah. James is the author of Book of James. We're just talking about being doers of the Word. And then Judas, the little book of Jude at the end of just before Revelation, that's Judas. You know, these are the half-brothers of Christ. But at this point, they didn't believe. And getting back to what you're talking about people texting and not talking today, back then, people had no choice but to talk to each other. They didn't have radio. They didn't have TV. They didn't have,
Internet.
They had nothing. You talked with people. And so no doubt they shared stories. As they were growing up, they heard all kinds of stories about things that had happened and things in the life of their parents and around the unique circumstances of the birth of Christ. And so they grew up hearing these things, and yet it says, for neither did his brethren believe in him. And, and these are people who talked and spent time going over and probably asking questions and hearing, different people talk about it and their impressions. And if you think it was hard enough for Jesus' brethren to come to believe that he was the Messiah, when they had all that going for them, how do we reach people today when you're speaking in short bullet statements and emojis?
Yeah, and that's a huge, we're creatures of habit,
mm-hmm.
and we get used to doing a certain thing one way. A lot of kids are growing up nowadays, and they're taught, they're taught when they're kids to text one another.
Yeah.
And that's how people talk to each other anymore. You can't even really talk to a person on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah, well, that's the old joke about, since that's old joke now, I guess, but it's old joke now, that, two people go out to dinner and they sit at the table and rather than talk, they text each other across the table.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Yeah, but this art of conversation, actually talking about things, and even before texting came along, there, people get into the car, they turn the radio on. Remember back in the days when you had the 8-track in the car? You thought you were something, you had an 8-track in there or a cassette. My brother had an 8-track. I think I had a cassette player. So he thought he was something because my older brother, he had the cassette, the 8-track. We thought we were something. And you spent all your time listening to your music instead of having conversation.
Right.
And I can remember my grandmother telling me when she was growing up, she grew up and when she was growing up in Richfield, where I'm from, it was a different day than what it is today. It was a different sort of life. She grew up in the horse and buggy era. That's what she grew up in. And she would get in the horse, or they get the horse out. She'd get in the buggy, and she'd ride in the buggy. And, her parents would be in the buggy and when she was a little girl, and they would go places, or they would walk. If they didn't have the buggy hooked up or ride a horse, they would walk. And while they would walk, what did people do while they were walking? They talked, because you didn't have a radio blaring. You talked with each other, and we've lost a lot of that, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the reasons why people don't call in like they. That's because I couldn't understand why is it only mostly me and Nancy call in? Like, why doesn't other people call in?
Well, and
that's one thing that came to me. Yeah.
Well, I have had people say, well, we're too busy listening. We enjoy listening to you talk, and different people call in. And that's fine, too. And some people aren't comfortable calling in, because calling in the radio program is a little bit different than just having a conversation with somebody. It just occurred to me, I had somebody who had sent me a question, and I can't for the life of me figure out what it was now. Hopefully they'll send it back to me. They had sent me a question, and like I said, I can't even begin to remember what it was right now. It's just been such a hectic week this past week. Maybe they'll call in, but they did ask about it and said that they would try to be listening. And, I'm sorry if you're listening and you had sent me a question this past week. I just can't think of what it is. Maybe it'll come to me a little bit later. I'll get a chance during one of the breaks or something to try and find it again. But it just occurred to me that somebody had done that this past week, and I just did not get back to them.
I was going to mention the real reason why I called in.
Yes.
If I could. I was going to ask you what chapter you're in. I guess you're in chapter 7. But
yes, in the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, and, you know, chapter 10 was brought up in the sermon today.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, every time they bring up a chapter, like chapter 10 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible.
Oh, yeah, there's some tremendous teaching in chapter 10 that gives you assurance of your salvation. You know, that you'll never lose your salvation. The assurance of your eternal salvation is there. And I've had people read that and tell me it just doesn't mean what it says.
But, and Nancy brought up a good question about the blind. You know, I was going to emphasize on mm-hmm. that a little bit more if I could.
Yes.
The blind, you know, the best miracle there can be is you're blind and now you can see.
Well, and
a non-believer didn't know the Lord, and all of a sudden he can see the light and he can see the truth of God.
Yeah, and going from physically blind to physically seeing is a picture of going from spiritually blind to spiritually seeing, and that is true. It's an incredible miracle that takes place when, you know, God opens the eyes of those that are blinded, you know, because the devil himself is blinding the eyes of people, you know, so that they do not see the truth of the gospel message. We know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's what I'm looking for, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he says this in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. And this is, you know, physical blindness and turn to physical sight is an illustration of this idea of spiritual blindness and then having spiritual sight. And it comes, as he says here in verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it is this light of God. And what he's referencing there when he says, for the light has shined in our heart, God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, that's a direct reference to Genesis chapter 1, where in Genesis chapter 1, it says in verse 1, starting in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and the light, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And until somebody sees the light, they're not aware of the darkness that they're in. And that's what happened here.
And there's so many people that think they're living in the light, but there's no light in them.
Right, they're in darkness, spiritual darkness.
Yeah, like the Pharisees and that, and the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, they didn't know who Jesus was because they were in total darkness.
Right. So that's where we pray that God will bring light to the eyes of those that are blinded. So.
Yeah, I got a book similar to Nancy's, and
praying
effectively for the lost.
Yes, same book there. And that's just exactly it. We need to pray for people, because then when the Spirit of God opens the eyes of those who are blind and the light shines in, much as the light shone in on that first day in the creation week, then they can see there's a difference between light and darkness. And right. They can see then, hopefully, their need for a Savior, and they can come to Christ.
Right.
So
I never said too much about John chapter 10, but there's a lot in there, and I encourage people to read it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because we hear his voice, the sheep hear his voice, and they call him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out.
Yes,
and that's the only way the sheep can know.
Well, and the other key there too is when you belong to him, when you put your faith in Christ, you become his sheep. You recognize his voice. You know,
if one goes astray, the Lord goes and gets him.
Yeah. Interesting thing is, you know, there in Jesus' day, many of the shepherds would bring their sheep into a common area, and it was time for them to separate them out to go their separate ways. Somebody would say, well, how do they know which ones are theirs? They call out to them, and their sheep hear their voice and know them and follow them.
Right.
And so we're in the world, we're mixed up in the world, but one of these days, and you look at things happening in the Middle East, it might not be that long, one of these days God will call us out, we'll hear his voice, and we'll go to him.
Right.
And pray
for what's going on down there, too.
Oh, absolutely. The Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and certainly pray for the peace of Israel and the peace and safety of the Jewish people around the world. So, we need to be in prayer for them and pray that God will use these things to bring them to Christ. That's a big thing, too. We were talking in Bible study Friday night about Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones and how they come together. And at one point when they come together, they look like a strong army, but there's no spirit in them. And I said, that's where Israel is today. It's a mighty army. It's a mighty nation. But there's no spirit of life in it because they've not yet embraced Christ, their Messiah. And when they do that...
But many will.
Yeah. But when they do that, that's when the life will come into them. But right now they are a mighty army, and they're showing that. But, of course,
God bless them for standing up for what's right.
Yeah,
exactly. They have a right to defend themselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, we know God has plans there. And, in fact, I just put together an article about Psalm 83 future or fulfilled. And I'm getting it on, I don't have it on the website yet, but I have it on some of the social media. And I hope to get it on the website here shortly. I thought I might get it on earlier after church tonight, but I just switched over to a new laptop and I'm still having some challenges. It's always one of those things. You know you need it. You know you need to get one. And when you get it, you're thinking, why did I ever do this? Why did I just stay with what I had? You know, the devil that I know, what I don't know, and learning all its quirks and everything. But pray for me. But hey, Terry, I want to thank you for bringing that up tonight. Those are some good points to bring up. I appreciate that. And stay safe up there. And again, keep in the book. Keep calling us with those good questions about things. Appreciate that. And
July 2nd, 1954, then-Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson offered an amendment to a pending tax bill. No committee hearings, no legislative analysis, backroom deals. The Johnson Amendment was an overt move to restrict freedom of speech and silence conservative nonprofit groups opposing Johnson and his cronies by threatening their tax-exempt status. The result? Many pastors, out of fear or ignorance, stopped speaking about controversial political issues and elections. Today, many believe that the Johnson Amendment makes it illegal for pastors to address political issues and elections. The Bible says we are to fear God rather than men, and to be salt and light in the world, preaching the whole counsel of God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders speak out on political issues and elections.